Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hello and welcome to the Arsenal Way. Back again with you guys for another episode of our Arsenal Agenda series. Joining you Monday to Friday at 10 a.m. UK time. Joined by Bailey. How are you doing, mate? You good, Joel?
Yeah, I'm good. See you, mate. How are you?
Yeah, not bad. Not too shabby at all. 2 days left until, of course, finally we get things back underway. I say finally because it just feels like these weeks are ridiculously long in between games now. I'm just counting down the days each time to the next fixture. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Nervous yet about it or confident?
No, TC, this season, I don't think I've been nervous once. Crystal Palace, really? I wasn't nervous. Leicester, I wasn't nervous. It's just this team just filled me with excitement and I'm excited to see the boys play. I'm like, okay, who's going to play well today? How are we going to set up? And I don't usually feel that way. I feel giddy. I feel like a kid at a toy store and Arsenal about to play. And it's an exciting thing for us. I think this season, I feel like we can go into most games and dominate. I didn't really feel like that last season. Going away from home, having a feeling where you can dominate. And Bournemouth, I'm getting prepared for us to dominate. And it's different. It's rare. And it's good to see. I think it just highlights the progress we have had in the summer transfer window and the team we have right now and the progress of Arteta as a whole, really.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we've made massive progress. It was interesting because we played Bournemouth, who were the side, of course, that Arteta played his first or managed his first game for Arsenal against. The difference in the lineups is ridiculous. You know, I think Saka was left back when we played that game. Reece Nelson started up top with Aubameyang and Lacazette. So, you know, very, very different things are going on at Arsenal now and in a very different place indeed. Today obviously also marks the release date of the final two episodes of All or Nothing. Did you get up early to watch them or you still got to watch them?
Still got to watch them. Unfortunately, I did not get up early. But we're planning to. But no.
That's fair enough. No, there's not going to be any spoilers here, people, so don't worry about that. We'll talk a little bit about that tomorrow, I imagine, after everyone's had a chance to catch up on the two episodes. Let's talk about transfers, as always. It's gone, as we were saying, off air. Still pretty quiet, you know, in terms of what's going on at Arsenal. There's been some interesting rumours and stuff flying about this week. Lucas Paqueta's name again cropped up. Sacha Tavolieri, the Belgian football expert, has been reporting on a number of Arsenal links over the last couple of years, said that he feels that Paqueta remains the actual priority beyond Yuri Tielemans. What do you make of that?
It makes sense. I think, of course, Paqueta suits the Arsenal transfer recruitment strategy well at the moment with the Brazilian players who are still young, got time to grow on 24, 25 age, who are quality but still have room for improvement. I think it makes sense. It's just that he's available this summer. I think he's been made available this summer. I think multiple sources, him himself, has put himself on the market. So if Arsenal really did consider him a priority, I think we would have brought him in. I think regardless of the outgoings, I don't think outgoings would have even been enough to cover his whole transfer. So I don't believe outgoings were the determining factor. We have even made a lot of outgoings this week. So then again, the final week we'll be able to make a transfer. But maybe Arteta's seen his team. He's seen how well Granit Xhaka has done and he's happy. He doesn't feel like he needs to spend heavily for the final weeks of the transfer window. Maybe we'll wait till January where we can really assess the team and then go for a player like Lucas Paqueta. Similar to what Newcastle done with Bruno Guimarães in January transfer window, how they signed the Lyon player. We might just be doing the same this season.
Perhaps we will. We'll have to wait and see if indeed that does end up happening. But I don't think we're going to be signing a Paqueta in this window at least. The Yuri Tielemans deal also seems to be kind of petering out, you know, at this stage. There's been no movement on that. If it does happen, I imagine it would take place in kind of the last week if we're pushing, you know, Leicester to try and decrease their valuation of the player. The other area is kind of defensive midfields. I've got a piece coming out a little bit later on this morning, in just under an hour's time, talking about kind of the difficulty we have if we're going to find a number six to compete with Partey. There just isn't the options out there at the moment.
There is no options. There are options, of course, but the options to really suit Arsenal and the realistic transfer target to bring a player in, it's tough. And I've always said this, it's like Arsenal, we want to sign a quality player, but a player who would be willing to play almost backup to Thomas Partey. And I think that's that fine line is very tough to find an ideal player to do that. Because, for example, look, Casemiro might be right there to sign, but you don't want to bring him in because he's not going to, you're not going to suddenly bench Thomas Partey, and Casemiro's wages, his transfer is going to be expensive. So you have to find a player who is of the quality, but not too much quality, if that makes sense. It's a fine line. It's a hard position to strengthen at the moment because we are doing so well in those positions.
Absolutely. Good morning to people joining us in the chat box today. Thank you for joining us from all over the world this morning. Thank you for tuning in. Lovely hearing where you're tuning in from. Always helps us see where, or how widespread the channel has become. So definitely let us know where you're watching from, whether it's from all London all the way through to places like Sierra Leone in the chat as well. Brilliant to see. Arsenal's under-21s played yesterday as well, Bailey. We got our first glimpse of Fabio Vieira. Did you catch some of the clips of the game at all?
Yeah, I saw his cheeky little dip over to Emil Smith-Rowe, which was promising to see. I'm just intrigued to see him on the right-hand side. I think I mentioned yesterday I could see him coming from the right-hand side because it makes sense. I think he'll need time to adapt to the Premier League in a physical manner before he does play in the middle of the park. I think it is a bit too early for him. He does need to get used to. And of course, one of the biggest critics about him is criticisms about him, sorry, is his physicality. So I think starting on the right-hand side is much easier. You can adapt more. And clearly, if Kaya reported that Fiera requested Fiera to play on the right-hand side, then clearly we have a potential winger there, and that might just affect things in the transfer market.
Yeah, absolutely. It was, Kaya, our colleague, Kaya Karnak, did indeed report that he was told, remember, Ali, the under-21's boss, was told to play him at right wing. So obviously you had Cedric, Smith-Rowe and Vieira all on that right-hand side. Smith-Rowe playing a right eight position, similar to where Odegaard, of course, plays in the senior side. Is that something you think, from his perspective, that he could play in the future? Or do you still think he's very much more of a wide player? Or is it actually central that you think he could play?
I think that's his natural position as well. During the youth days, he was playing in that position. I think that's where he, of course, learned his trade. So absolutely, and honestly, the wing position right now for Smith-Rowe is looking tough to break into. So he has really got impressed in the middle midfield. There's not really too many, strength and depth for the number eight positions open at the moment. Smith-Rowe can really attack that. But regardless of where he plays in the pitch at the moment, I just can't see him breaking in to the starting 11. But again, the eight position is there. It might be tougher than getting ahead of Martinelli because Odegaard is the club captain, of course. But again, it's good to show that he has needed versatility in the team.
With Vieira playing on the right, do you think that potentially rules out a signing of a right-sided player?
Yeah, I honestly do. I do think that does affect the impact things. Certainly, if Arteta has personally requested him to play on the right-hand side, maybe Arsenal have realised that signing a winger in this window is unlikely. You can test Vieira there until at least the January transfer window and have more depth there. Even if Pepe does end up leaving and going to Nice, for example, Vieira can slot in there. So yeah, I think it does have an impact on our transfer window plans, I'm not going to lie.
To be honest, you know, I'm fine with that. Look, the wingers that are out there at the moment, you know, we're talking about the likes of Jeremy Pina, who is a project. He's a potential player. He's very good, but he's potential. Moussa Diaby's going to cost you upwards of, what, 60-odd million quid to try and get someone like him in the door. Cody Gakpo is more of a left-hand-sided player. We've got, obviously, Martinelli and Smith-Rowe that can both play there. Jesus can play there too, and Ketia could also play there. And, you know, it's interesting that not really any other clubs have gone in for these players either during this window. I like what I see from Gakpo at times, but I'm not necessarily sure whether he would fit into the current squad and how easily he would get the minutes that he would need to develop at his age. So, yeah, look, I think that if it's a case of we are looking at moving Vieira to the right-hand side, invest in the midfield. I think the midfield continues to be an area that we need to have someone brought in, even with it being obviously difficult to see Xhaka being displaced on the left eight position and us having another options there. But if Vieira isn't seen as the eight that couldn't rotate with Xhaka, potentially that does open a gap up in midfield for what we need to do between now and the end of the window. We'll have to wait and see. Let's go into the chat box and see what you guys are saying. There's a few comments coming in from Ethiopia and Nigeria, Nairobi as well, Worcester from Kevin, less exotic from there, Kevin, but I love that. That's great. Much appreciate you tuning in wherever you are indeed from. Brilliant stuff. Matt says, what are the records behind me? I mean, they're foals and drum and bass stuff, so it's not the most exciting thing in the world. Graham says, I hope we could bring in Neto. What about Lima from Leipzig? Is there any reason why nobody has made a bid for him? Do you think he could adapt to the Premier League? What do you think about Konrad Lima
Conrad Lamb, of course, I know he was reportedly available for around the £30 million mark and €30 million mark. And I think he would be a good signing. Every time I've seen him play for Leipzig, he looks like the ideal box-to-box player. He's around the pitch. I think he'd be a decent signing. But the fact that no club have gone in for him is interesting. I think Bayern Munich were interested at one point, but I don't know what happened there. Obviously, I know they signed Gravenberch from Ajax as well, so probably that could be the reason why. But yeah, I think Lamb was a good option, to be honest.
Indeed. Yeah, absolutely. I think he really could be an interesting player for us for the future. I look at someone, though, like Neto and think he's game-changing. You know, get someone like him in, that's a different level of player, is it not?
Yeah, Neto, what a player. And of course, we already know he's exposed his dream in the past to play for Arsenal. So it's a possibility there. But yeah, Neto is, even before the ACL, even after the ACL, he's shown excellent qualities on the ball and why he would be such a dominant winger. But again, he's a player on the left-hand side coming in from and onto his right foot. I don't know how that would also work. It's another awkward transfer, just like Cody Gakpo. So maybe one to watch, but I wouldn't say it's likely with the remaining weeks of the summer transfer window.
Yeah, neither do I. I don't think it is likely at all. MI Tech says, what has happened to our interest in Dan Juma? Pino's far more sensible teammate. What do you think about the link? I mean, we weren't really heavily linked with Dan Juma at all, to be fair.
Look, I've done a piece saying I'd prefer, if I had to sign a winger from Villarreal, it would not be Jeremy Pino, but it would be Dan Juma. Because I believe, TC, at the moment, we're in a stage in our rebuilding process where we should be targeting players who are not 19, 20, 21 anymore. I think we've kind of built upon that now. We're at a stage where we do need to be competing for higher stuff like the Champions League. Maybe even next season we might be a Premier League challenge. Obviously not a title winning, but a challenge. And I don't think you can do that with 19, 20, 21-year-olds. You need to sign the 24, 25-year-old players who are almost there, but not just there yet. That's why we signed Gabriel Jesus this summer. We signed Sinchenko, of course. I think we're in a new stage of a rebuilding process where players like Pino will be less useful than a player like Dan Juma, who will be already made to come in the squad and get us and fire us the Champions League football without a doubt, because he's shown the pedigree already in the Championship. He's done excellent for Bournemouth and he's already shown it in La Liga and the Champions League for Villarreal. So that's why I'd prefer Arnaud Dan Juma.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? I mean, Dan Juma is going to give you a more immediate impact, whereas Pino is certainly more of a project type of signing. Gunnar Jake says, did Neto not only damage his knee as well? As I know he came back from a serious knee injury. I don't know if it was an ACL and a kneecap problem as well.
I think it was ACL. I think it was just ACL.
I did hear something about his kneecap, though. I don't know if it was a case of when he'd done the ACL that it also injured his kneecap at the same time. Because, you know, the force sometimes when you do your ACL, the force at which the ligament breaks can break the bones around it. It's that kind of chaotic. So it wouldn't surprise me if that was the case. Caleb says, TC, I really can't see Arsenal signing Neto this season. To be honest, neither can I. You know, I can't see Arsenal going and spending the money it would take to bring someone in of that kind of level in this window when you've already got the starting players. It's a really difficult kind of situation for Arsenal being, because if you look at the starting 11 that we have that we played against Crystal Palace and, of course, against Leicester, when you're thinking about who comes into that team, who can we sign that starts over any of those players? And of course, you think White at right back, Tomiyasu's coming in there. Either of those two can play. You've got Saliba, Gabriel, Zinchenko or Tierney, Partey and Xhaka, and then a front three with Odegaard behind them of Saka, Jesus and Martinelli. You know, I don't think Neto starts for us right now. You know, I think he rotates with Martinelli for sure. He can compete with him. But if you're signing a £60+ million player in Neto that doesn't start for you right now, I can't see Arsenal doing that. Do you know what I mean?
I completely agree. Look, I know Liverpool, Manchester City, of course, are on another level, but they don't just sign players for the sake of saying, look, we need to sign a player because we haven't signed enough in this transfer window. They wait until the right player who can actually come into the squad is available, and they won't just splash ridiculous amounts of money on a player who won't even start. And I think Arsenal, it's different for Arsenal. I think we're going into a stage now where we can't just afford to panic buy and say, look, oh, we've got money, let's just spend it. There's a decent player there. No, does he come into the squad? And will he actually start? And at the moment, with how well our squad is doing, there's not too many players who can do that, because we've got a sense of togetherness. The team understands the mission at hand, and it's hard at the moment to strengthen. I think that's why Eddie's been so reluctant to sign another player.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think that it's very hard now when you look at this squad to go, Who are you going to sign? Are they going to join knowing that they're not going to be regular starters? Can Arsenal offer them that without Champions League football? Because, you know, Liverpool and City, they sign players like Liverpool signed Jota for 50-odd million quid, despite having Mane, Firmino and Salah, because they knew that Jota would get minutes across the front three and they could offer him, you know, Champions League level football and title challenging football as well. It's different with Arsenal, who are in a position where they're trying to get back into the Champions League. Yes, it would be great to sign someone who could play across that front three for us, like a Jota. One, they're not all that common. You know, Jota is a little bit of a unicorn type of signing, I suppose, because he's so versatile. I think that potentially is an area that Arsenal would look to sign in the near future. But who knows? Maybe even Fabio Vieira turns out to be that player for us. He's played everywhere for Porto. So there's no reason why potentially Vieira isn't already that player. And I think that a lot of people have forgotten about Vieira, to be honest, and have forgot that we've brought him in and that he's a very exciting player. They got into double digits for assists, got a fair amount of goals last season for Porto as well, and was very, very strong indeed. Ronnie, in terms of everybody's fitness for the game against Bournemouth on Saturday, the game's at 5:30. Tomiyasu should be back, of course, came on in the game against Leicester in the final few minutes. Smith-Rowe and Vieira both played a half of football in the under-21s last night, could be available for the squad as well. It was interesting that Marquinhos wasn't in the under-21s squad yesterday. Two reasons for that. One, he could be in the squad this weekend because he's impressed a lot for the youth team, or a loan deal is potentially being discussed. Yeah. Either of those two could be options. Not heard anything concrete on that yet, but they're the obvious two routes for the reason why he might not be there, as well as an injury, but I haven't heard him being injured, so it'd be intriguing what happens there. But yeah, everyone is pretty fit for the game. We've got a very good squad available to Mikel Arteta. It's mad thinking about the end of last season when we had the likes of Hutchinson and Mika Beareth and Flores, Zach Orr just populating the bench. Swanson was on there almost every week, and now you're looking at the bench and it's a crazy good bench. Like, you can pretty much field a team that I think that could easily beat other teams in the bottom half of the table, I think, with the amount of changes we can make. It's just going to be about how it all comes together, and when we play those Europa League games and those cup games, how the transition from the A team to kind of the B team and how that works. Let's finish off the show with Graham's question. Does it please you that Arsenal are taking their time in the market and signing players that fit the system, unlike Man United, who are panic buying and going after everyone?
Oh, absolutely. I think we're in a wonderful position. As I said, right now, we're moving like a Manchester City or Liverpool, who do their business, know what they want to get, and now they're comfortable. They started the season excellently because of that, because of the lack of uncertainty around the club. And Manchester United have had a disastrous start. They've literally had our start last season, but worse. And now they're looking in the market to panic buy and going after every player who puts their feet on the football pitch in a professional type of manner. So it is wonderful to see, because it shows the level of progression we have had done over the last two seasons and the way Manchester United are struggling, and we're on another level to them. It just shows that we are going in the right direction.
Yeah, it absolutely does. I just can't help but laugh when I look at Man United these days. They are a joke of a club right now. There is potential, apparently, for like a potential shareholding sale going on, and there's talk of that potential sale. Does that worry you at all, that they might get new owners in?
In the long term, yes. In the short term, no, because even if new owners do come in, they've got a lot to change around. It's not just the squad, it's the club culture, it's everything about the club they need to change. But long term, of course, let's not forget, Manchester United are arguably one of the biggest clubs in world football, so they'll always have that attractive trait about them. But it's just how they rebuild, and it will take years to rebuild. So I think if Arsenal can get themselves to a good enough level where even a new owner's come in, it'll take them a while to get to Arsenal's level. That's what I hope for. But of course, you do have to be a little bit worried.
Indeed. Thank you, Chatbox, for joining us this morning. Really appreciate your time, as always. We'll be back tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. once again to keep you up to date with everything going on in the world of Arsenal. We should have another upload for you this afternoon as well. Tomorrow is, of course, Arteta's press conference, which you'll be able to watch on the channel after it's finished too. So make sure you subscribe and turn those notifications on so you can catch up on that. Other than that, Bailey, thank you so much for joining me. Appreciate it as always.
As always, thank you, TC, and everyone in the comment section as well.
Indeed. We'll see you again very soon. Keep up to date with all our written work over at football.london. And other than that, it's been a real pleasure. And as always, keep following us down the Arsenal way.